What's going on, everybody? We are back. It is Cranked with your boy, Colin, for the ladies and gentlemen and the savages alike. Welcome back to the show, Colin Henderson. What's going on?
Jeremy, man, it's so good to hear your voice.
Hey.
So good to connect here on a Friday. Blessed to be alive.
Yes. Well, let's get cranked up. Today's topic, we're going to go into confidence and sustaining your confidence and where does your confidence come from and how do we overcome doubts along the journey, which I think everybody asks those questions. I don't care who you are. You go through that process of how do you sustain your confidence and where does that confidence come from? So I know Colin's got some nugs for us today, as he always does. Take the mic, my friend.
That's it. Well, Jeremy, thank you. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. We want to just give you a shout out that you are showing up. You're trying to get better. You want to get some tools and strategies. You're not just coasting through life. You know, the worst four-letter F word we can say is I'm fine. I'm fine is just not good enough. We want to be thriving. We want abundance. We want to be serving, growing, helping. And, you know, when I look at, you know, my origin story, Colin, how'd you become a mindset coach? Like, what even is a mindset coach and why is it important? It's because I look at this word confidence, and on paper, I had every reason to be confident. High school homecoming king, all state in two sports, captain of football, basketball, baseball team in high school, two sport starter at Washington State University in a great conference. After grad school, I was in sales, had success, but you know, I suffer from what is called imposter syndrome. Now that is a syndrome where you don't think you're worthy. You have success, but you still don't believe in yourself because you're spending your time looking at other people and seeing what they're doing, and you focus on what you don't have instead of doubling down on what you have. But 7 or 8 years ago, when I switched companies, Bard Medical, selling catheters to urologists and hospitals, I had a sales trainer that introduced me to the power of the mind. And he gave me 30 books to read on mindset. He's like, Colin, you know, here's books on business and sales, but really to be your best and to thrive, you know, it's all about mastering the mental game. And before that, Jeremy, like I just hit like a rough patch, like 2 years. I had a 2 year window where I was just struggling, man. Wasn't confident, wasn't sleeping, stressed all the time. And what these books gave me was just some insight on a few facts. Let's just do a baseline here, listeners. How do you speak to yourself? Let's start there. You know, brain science tells us that 80% of human thoughts are negative and 95% of human thoughts are reoccurring. So the human brain is hardwired to survive, not thrive. And I suffered from that problem. Like I would have success and I would practice really hard, but sometimes in the moment would get too big and I really suffered from self-doubt. So really today, the opponent we're going to attack is self-doubt. Like that's the really problem we want to solve. So let's do a baseline assessment, listeners. Let's look at your overall life, how you see yourself. You know, how confident are you to, you know, to thrive in environments, to maximize your skills, you know, scale from 1 to 10, how confident are you? And, you know, when I was kind of in that rut, I remember thinking to myself, you know, I'm like 30% of my God-given ability and potential. I'm in this cage. So reading these books and then not just reading it, but putting these thoughts, ideas into practice and then, you know, being on this quest of being obsessed with understanding the power of the mind and, you know, other teachers and thought leaders and podcasts and videos on YouTube. I just went to school. So I'm going to break down to you for listeners out there, four keys you can work on to elevate confidence, which we want to get to what I call unshakable confidence. There are four levels of confidence. Level one is what I call no confidence. You've already lost before the competition, the presentation, whatever it is even started. Level two is shaky confidence. Now, shaky confidence, you need to see an outcome to get validation. You need to see it before you believe it. Level three is what I call stable confidence. You don't have to see an outcome to be confident, but you need external validation to believe in yourself. Now, level four is unshakable confidence. You don't need an outcome. You don't need validation. You have elite self-awareness. You know your values. You know the best version of you, what you're striving to be. So I'm going to give you four ways, Jeremy. How about you want to press the pause button? Do you want to chime in for a second, man, about confidence?
No,
about
self-doubt? I think that's those four layers. I love how simple that is because I think everybody can find themselves in that place in one of those four. And I think the funny thing is that along the journey, I think we've found ourselves in all of those places. You know, I think you can think you have, you know, unshakable confidence, and then life comes along and they're like, oh yeah, we gonna test that. And so exactly. I think that, like in earlier podcasts, I think that's the importance of having the community around you, people that know you, people that can remind you who you are, where you came from, how you got here, and where you have to go. And so I think that those things are tough, you know, especially if you go from, like you did, when you go from being an athlete to being in the business world, you know, where everything really is about the outcome, you know, and what you're producing. And if you're not producing, then you're not, you know, you're not valid. And so it's hard to keep it, you know, identity based as opposed to production based. And I think that plays a large role in how we feel about ourselves when we look at ourselves in the mirror at the end of the day.
Yeah. Great points on, you know, who you have in your circle that loves and supports you. You know, do you have people that are pulling you down and are pointing out all your flaws and are super negative, or do you have people that have compassion for you, that love you, that you know that they have your back? So let's just jump into it. So step one, so there's only four. Now I'm gonna give you four keys today to elevate confidence, to smash self-doubt in its face. And the reality is no matter who you are, no matter how successful you are, self-doubt is completely normal, and it's never going to stop. I think that's a lie people think, that, you know, I have self-doubt, I have worry, I feel nerves. Well, that's actually a natural human emotion, and it's just how we interpret those nerves. So the four keys I'm going to give you, the first two is really about awareness, and the last two is about action. So step one, what I want you guys to be aware of is just, we have this critic inside of our brain. I call there are two U's, this critic and creative voice that compete for space all the time. And if your mind is untrained, 4 out of 5 human thoughts are negative. So step number one is just to sit back and observe, how am I speaking to myself? Is that thought even true? Where did that thought come from? Because your brain is designed to survive, not thrive. It's designed to survey the environment, look for threats, danger, but we're not being chased anymore by lions and tigers. So now we're worried about, you know, how do I look? What do people think? What if I'm not liked? What if I'm not welcome into that tribe? If I don't have success, will I get fired? So we're naturally going to go down this negative path. And this is where mindfulness training is so powerful, because if you can spend 5 minutes a day just sitting still, sitting in stillness and focusing on your breath or a sound or, you know, a mantra or something, and just recognizing your thoughts and just observing and just gently coming back to your breath or to that one point, that strengthens your mind to be focused, to be clear. So challenge number one is just recognize when your internal Judge Judy is going off, just that recognition, and then taking a step back and reframing that thought is probably not true. So I'm just going to bet, listeners, that, you know, your first thought will probably be negative, but your second, third, and fourth thought doesn't have to be. So, and I'm just going to put down, you know, four common critic voices you're going to hear. I call this bad cops. They're keeping you in performance jail. These are negative voices that everyone has to deal with and face. The first one is comparing yourself to other people. Comparison is the thief of joy. And we have devices that make it really hard to not do that with, you know, IG and Facebook and Twitter. The next one we have to worry about is obsessing about the opinions of other people. You know, you aren't who you think you are. You aren't who others think you are. You are what you think other people think you are. And that's oftentimes not true. So do you need to see that external praise of validation to believe in and to love yourself? The next one to be aware of is the lie of perfection. And the stated, I'm a recovering perfectionist. But you have compassion and grace for others. Why don't you have that same compassion for yourself? If someone on your team at work or makes a mistake, you wouldn't go right to their face and say, you suck, you're horrible, you should quit. So why would you say that to yourself? And the last one is prize. We're only focusing on an outcome. Our validation comes from an outcome. I'll be happy when. I call this someday-itis, you know, and that's robbing you. So step one is just to recognize when those thoughts are coming. Maybe even write down, take a step back and observe your thought life for a day or two. Like, just write down, what are some common negative thoughts that come up? What are some beliefs that I'm holding on to that probably aren't true? Let's start there. Now, step two is a tough one. Is having compassion for yourself. Having compassion for yourself. And the reality is, is we lie to ourselves thinking that everybody is obsessing over us, which is not true. I think that's the biggest lie that I told myself, is that, you know, every performance was a matter of life and death. I have to perform to be loved. I have to perform to be liked. But the reality is everyone's worried about how they look. They're not worried about how you look. Most of us suffer from what Dr. Michael Gervais calls FOPO, fear of other people's opinions. So if you can just take a step back and just give yourself grace, have compassion, have the same compassion for yourself as you do for other people. And the reality is, Jeremy, is people are not going to bed thinking about your mistakes. I mean, you're loved and you're important, but you're not that important where everyone is obsessing over every move. So I think that's a freeing feeling for me. So how do you feel about step one and step two, Jeremy?
I love them. On point.
Okay. How are you with those two? Do you recognize that negative voice? Man, you shouldn't be doing this. Who says you're worthy of doing this?
I think
being hard on yourself.
I think that is honestly one of my strengths. I'm like an optimist to the fault, and so I always think things are gonna work out. And I think most of my life I've been surrounded by realists/pessimists, and so I think I've had to have an undying belief in my ability to figure things out. And if something doesn't come through, that, you know, the next one will. And so I think that honestly, that's one of the things that has carried me through a lot of things in my life, is just the undying belief that the next one's going to be great. But I mean, just like everyone else, I do have those doubts. But I think when you put them in context, and there's a LeVar Burton quote, you know, it's like, how do you test your thoughts? You know, does this thought take me closer to who and where I want to be or not? And that really went a far ways for me, just being able to categorize your thought and, is this thought serving me or not? You know, and I think it makes it really easy to line up with your character. Cause if you have characteristics or standards that you've chosen to live by, I call them your pillars, and you put that thought, positive or negative, up against those pillars, it makes it very easy to distinguish, you know, what is the truth and what an emotion is. And I just listened to this podcast yesterday, and there was a super interesting point that the individual made, and said, you can either have emotion or you can have progress, but you can't have both. And I thought that was really interesting. He's like, saying when you're working out and you're coming to, like, you're trying to get 10 reps in, and at rep number 8, you know, your body's like, let's stop. Like, I'm tired. I'm broken down. I'd really like to shut things down right now. And you can stop right there, and you can have the emotion, you can have the relief, but it's not going to get you where you want to go. So you can either have the progress or you can have the emotion. It doesn't mean you ignore the emotion. You're just not giving it power over what comes next. And I think that that's why I honestly have so much respect and value for you, Colin, on these things, is because the tangible tools that we're trying to provide are the difference maker that people can actually apply in their life when these times come up, because we know that they're going to come up. The question is, how are we going to respond? Like, you don't always have control over what's happening, but you do have control over how you respond to it.
There you go. And I was just thinking about compassion, and I think of Carol Dweck out of Stanford's model, growth versus fixed mindset. And if it doesn't work out, you know, have compassion. I mean, as long as you're going hard and trying your hardest and you left it all out there, fail is feedback. Fail is not the opposite of success, part of the process. So I think about the word yet. And a fixed mindset is like, I am who I am. How I perform is who I am. That's so untrue. Stop getting your validation from doing and have it from being. Like you said, have pillars. That's a whole nother podcast on how you come up with your core values and your truths. But just think that thing that you didn't get done, just add the word yet at the end of it. Now, I didn't, you know, master this yet, or I can't do this yet. And have that grace and compassion. As long as you're, you know, your heart's in it, you're fully present, you're trying new things, you're courageous to feel the nerves, but lean in anyway, like, that's cool. Now we're going to do two things I want you guys to work on to elevate confidence. And Jeremy, if I ask you, maybe you know this because you listen to me talk, but what's the number one source of developing elite confidence?
Say it again.
What's the number one source of developing confidence?
Probably doing what you said you would do when you said you would do it.
That's a good one. Well, there's research from the BBC lab in the UK, 44,000 people researching confidence. What's the number one source of confidence? And Dr. Lane found that the number one source of confidence researching almost 50,000 people was self-talk. How you speak to yourself, because your thoughts influence your feelings, your biochemistry, and your actions. So you can prepare and do all the work, but how many of you listeners have like prepared, done the work, but when it came time to perform, you sucked because the moment got too big, or you didn't believe in yourself, or you were doing a checklist on why you're not worthy instead of why you're worthy. So that resonates, because no one outworked me in football, but you know, game day, I would have a freaking panic attack half the time. It wasn't that I wasn't prepared. I was, but mentally I was talking myself out of it. So I would say just clean up how you speak to yourself. Here's a few ways you can do that. We want you to write down, you know, when have I had success before? When have I overcame challenging things? And then I think the other one would be is, you know, write down three anchor statements, three I am statements that, you know, who are you? I mean, you get to decide who you want to be and really focus on that. I was talking to, my buddies who's in the film. He makes movies and commercials and stuff, and he played quarterback in college. We're buddies in high school and younger, and I was talking about, you know, the power of self-talk and like getting feedback from a group I was coaching. You know, what would you say to yourself when you were doing something challenging or something new? And Jason, my buddy Jason Johnson, he said, you know what I would always tell myself when I'm about to play? I always play good. And to me, that was just so gangster. It's just like so simple, but you become what you think about the most. So you would not let anybody with dirty feet walk in your house, dirty shoes. So why would you let negative thinking and that negative self-talk even infiltrate your mind? So I tell myself before a performance, I am authentic. I am present. I am courageous.
I like it.
Thoughts become things. Energy flows where focus goes. What you resist persists. If you focus on what you don't want and who you aren't, you're going to attract it. So when have I had success before? You know, how have I earned the right? How am I credible with my self-talk? When have, you know, my habits, routines, maybe write those down. And when have I overcame challenging things? So, you know, runners who run like ultra marathons, they kind of have a saying to themselves, if they don't listen to yourself, talk to yourself. Because if you let your brain does what it does, it's going to go negative. But if you talk to yourself, this is what we call thought replacement. You're blocking out negative thinking because you can only focus on one thought at a time. So just like you, Jeremy, flood the zone with optimism, but anchor that positive self-talk, that affirmations with some, hey, I can prove that I'm this way because look at the things I've done. I've trained for this moment. I've done the reps. I've already overcame challenging things. So why would this way be any different? I'm going to bet on myself. And really, confidence is betting on yourself or betting on, you know, you're part of this team. And, you know, confidence isn't, you know, I know I'll have success right now. Confidence is, I know I can figure it out. I can be resourceful. The greatest resource is resourcefulness. So develop a self-talk plan. So listeners, I'm telling you, you know, don't just wing this thing like you would, you know, do a physical workout, do a mental workout and write down those things. When have I had success before? When have I overcame challenging things? You know, what work am I doing now to prepare myself for this moment? And then write down three affirmations. Russell Wilson, when he's mic'd up before games, he's like, I am here. I'm built for this. Why not me? I'm here. I'm built for this. Why not me? Believe. So let's go. Thoughts become things. And, you know, what you say to yourself, Jeremy, has 10 times the power versus what other people say to you. So that internal voice is powerful. Now, the last one, you mentioned it, you know, where does confidence come from? You said you do what you say you're going to do. So the last thing I would say is develop internal trust. So how do we develop internal trust? There's really two ways for me. Just like Jeremy, here's a question. How do you trust other people? Like when you have people in your inner circle, people that you care about, like what do they do for you to give them trust?
They have consistency.
Or what do you need to see from them so you can, hey, I trust you?
Consistency.
Consistency. Yeah, they do what they say they're going to do. So how do we develop internal trust with ourselves? You do what you say you're going to do. You're yes. Credible with your own, your self-talk and the goals and the plan that you write down. So just develop an internal habit of doing what you say you're going to do. That's going to elevate confidence. Now, the other part of this, Jeremy, is to do challenging stuff, is to do something hard every day. That's going to build your resilient muscle. That's going to build your resourcefulness muscle. And that's going to build this muscle. I can figure this out. I can do difficult things. I can do challenging things. And I put myself through these environments. So when it comes time to perform, this is easy. It's like in sports, man. Make practice harder than the game. Do things where you don't want to do. If you're in sales, you know, put yourself in environments where, you know, you're, when you're preparing and doing role playing or something, just like make the environment harder than the actual real moment. But do difficult things daily. Do something that makes you uncomfortable every day. So yeah. That's it, fam.
I love it.
That's it.
I wrote down a quote yesterday that said, "Drown out the doubts with results." And that's an idea I got from a guy I highly respect named Tom Bilyeu. But it's just this idea of you doubt something because you don't have enough evidence to pull from to overcome. So how do we drown out the doubts? If you not necessarily somebody who finishes out, you know, something to completion, how do you overcome that? You rep things out to completion over and over and over and over again until you've become, it's not necessarily you do things to completion, but you become somebody who doesn't stop until something's complete. Because that character, your identity, is what creates that consistency over and over again. And one thing I wanted to touch on is the accountability, having people around you that hold you accountable. And something that comes to mind is there a couple weeks ago, if you're a Hawks fan, there's a kid named DK Metcalf, and he's a freak talent. And he was running to the end zone, caught a long ball from Russell, and he's about the 10-yard line, and he starts high-stepping and forgets where he's at on the field, and the ball gets punched out of the back of the end zone in a touchback. Did you watch that game, Colin?
Of course I did.
And so, obviously, he's not very happy with himself, and obviously Russell's not happy because that would have been probably his fifth or sixth touchdown of the game. And I was watching this NFL show, and they were talking about this thing that was mic'd up, and Russell obviously was not happy. And I was like, this is one of those times when Russell Wilson needs to go over, say something. So there was somebody on the sideline, and Russell walked up to DK Metcalf, who they had locked each other in this offseason together for a month to work out together. And that's something that I have a high respect for Russ, is his ability to get things locked in and pull people under his wing and get things on the same page. And so Russ walked over to DK, and he says, "Well, that's never going to happen again." And that just made me laugh. And I was like, that's so savage. But at the time, you know, obviously DK wasn't happy, and he knew that that was not the right thing to do. But that accountability, saying, "Hey, you're that," just that phrase, "that's never going to happen again," that's just an accountability saying, "Hey, you're better than that. Like, we didn't train this whole way for you to get here and for that to happen." And I think that's so huge. And when you're keeping people accountable, one of my phrases that I love is, we're not called to judgment. We're called to hold people to the glory that they've fallen short of. Meaning, you're not looking for dirt for people. You're looking for the gold. And so when people are falling short, you're calling to them to the goal that you see that they're capable of. And from that place, every time you're around your sphere of influence, they know that you're looking for the best. You're pulling out the best. You're not going to stop until those people are at their best, because you know that the better the people are around you, the better you become. As Colin has said on this show, you know, if you're around five millionaires, you're going to be the sixth. You know, if you're around five savages, you're going to be the sixth. So the more you can raise up the people around you, the better you're going to be by osmosis, because you're going to pick up on habits, routines, ideas, thought processes. And so that competition is a beautiful thing when we can pull ourselves together, and that gives us more confidence when you know the people around you are outright savages.
That's it. Well, I would say this, and I know I love Tom Bilyeu, and I would just challenge his model of, you know, how to quiet doubt with results. I would say quiet doubt with action, because you might not always get the result you want, but I would hate for you to stop trying because you're not getting the result you want, but just keep moving.
Right. I think that's the idea.
Yeah. So there is a neuroscientist on his show from Stanford talking about there were, you know, mice in this tunnel, and they're measuring, you know, who keeps going, who stops. You know, they're looking at, I guess, confidence was one of the measures. And when they put these two mice in this tunnel, one of the scientists would push one mouse forward and the other mouse would retreat back. And then when they put them back in the tunnel, that mouse that was pushed forward had elite confidence, and he would always move forward. The other mouse would move backwards.
Dang, that's crazy.
So basically he said, just move forward, just move. I mean, having a bias for action, and you know, it's this concept, it's the start that stops most people. So just keep moving, man. So recognize when that critic pops up, have compassion, think about, you know, growth mindset, you know, progress, not perfection, focus on the process, not the outcome, keep moving forward, and just clean up your self-talk. Honestly, who's your best friend? Would you still be best friends with them if they talk to you the same way you talk to yourself? Well, just elevate how you speak to yourself. I know Jeremy is a ninja at that, but I've had to retrain myself to, you know, proactively speak to myself in a way that, hey, I'm built for this. I'm ready for this. And that has changed everything in my life, how I talk to myself. And then you'll back up that self-talk with building trust. Do what you say you're going to do. Do something hard every day. And you do this daily consistently, just watch out. So you guys got this.
I love it. Colin, I appreciate you as always. If you're listening, like, subscribe, share, write these things down. I promise you these things will change your life. We're not doing this just to fill your airwaves, but we're doing this so you guys can have tangible tools to apply to your actual life. We'd love to hear any feedback that you guys have on what this does, or if there's a moment in your day where this thing comes to your mind and helps you to make a different decision than you normally would. But I just appreciate you guys always tuning in, always listening, sending feedback my way. And I know people appreciate you, Colin. Until next time, my friends, stay off the leash.